see right after the international.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The National Basketball Association officially tips off its 76th season later Tuesday night with two games in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Two-time league most valuable player Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks will host the Brooklyn Nets, and that will be followed by a game in Los Angeles, California. LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers will be at home against the Golden State Warriors. LeBron is nicknamed King James, and he's had a royal run in the NBA, establishing himself as one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Among LeBron's achievements, four NBA titles, four league MVP trophies, and two Olympic gold medals. At 36 years old, LeBron is about to begin his 19th season in the NBA. Last season, LeBron and the Lakers were eliminated in the first round of the NBA playoffs by the Phoenix Suns. The Suns went on to the NBA Finals, where they lost to the Bucks 4-2. It was Milwaukee's first NBA championship in 50 years. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, let's look back on that big title by the Bucks. And here is the AP's Chuck Freeman.
In a city that has been starved for world titles, the Milwaukee Bucks won their first NBA championship since 1971 after beating the Phoenix Suns 105-98. The Bucks won the series in 6 games after dropping the first two in Phoenix. Giannis Antetokounmpo was the series MVP. He suffered a knee injury in the conference finals, and there was some doubt if he'd be healthy enough to play in the finals. He had 50 points in the title clincher. Antetokounmpo says there was nothing that was going to stand in his way.
I want to win a championship in Milwaukee. I'm going to do whatever it takes in order for me to win it. And we did it.
The Bucks trailed by 5 at halftime. Antetokounmpo had 20 third quarter points. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. Milwaukee's head coach, Mike Budenholzer, praised his players.
We've been pushing. We've been trying to get better. The players embrace everything. They're amazingly coachable. They just take it and soak it in, and they make the best of it. They've done that, from day one this year. So I'm happy for the players.
Now we'll hear from a couple of those NBA champion Bucks players. Center Brook Lopez scored 10 points and grabbed 8 rebounds in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Talk to us, Brook.
See our guys fight back, make adjustments, and just keep that belief in one another. It's special, you know, and that's not something that you get with every team. I've seen that through my 13 years in the league, that this team is absolutely one of a kind, and I'm fortunate and blessed to be a part of that.
Meanwhile, guard Chris Middleton says the Bucks showed their fighting spirit in lifting the NBA trophy.
They knocked us in the mouth the first 2 games, but I love the way we responded. We didn't give up on ourselves. Our home crowd was amazing. This whole playoff run, this whole season.
And while the Phoenix Suns came up short, star guard Devin Booker says he learned some valuable lessons.
I think we learned a lot just by being in it. You know, it was a lot of our first time in the playoffs, let alone the finals. You know, it was a great experience for us. I think we set a foundation and a base for our team.
Devin Booker didn't win an NBA title, but he did win an Olympic gold medal. Booker was a member of the USA team that defeated France 87-82 in the gold medal game at this year's Olympic men's basketball tournament in Japan. In African basketball, Onafade Ismail was recently re-elected as president of Benin's Basketball Federation. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Ismail thanked players and officials and said he will work hard to grow the game in Benin.
Indeed, on the occasion of the last General Assembly, I was re-elected president of the Benin Basketball Federation for a new term of 4 years. I'm happy and fulfilled. I thank God for this honor. With more than 80% of the votes obtained, I had the confidence and the discharge of the clubs to continue my project of development of Beninese basketball. I thank all the club leaders and all the players in Beninese basketball for their confidence. I thank the Minister of Sports and all the government of Benin. I thank the National Olympic Committee, FIBA Africa, and FIBA Zone 3 with Colonel Sam and President Musa Kida from the Sister Federation of Nigeria.
Benin Republic has not been featuring in some international basketball tournaments. What will your executive do to popularize the game in your country?
In October 2017, when I took the head of the Benin Basketball Federation, the practice of basketball was very concentrated in two cities, that are Cotonou and Porto Novo. The level was very low with humiliating results compared to the Zone 3 sub-region. So my mandate from 2017 to 2021 made it possible to popularize the practice of basketball in all the departments and the cities in the country. The number of girls and boys licenses has doubled approximately. 3-on-3 basketball has been developed, and Benin has played all the competitions of the women's and the men's nation of Zone 3 and the continent with good results, which allowed us to enter the top 10 of the last FIBA rankings. Today, at the level of standard 5-on-5 basketball, we are ranked third behind Nigeria and Cote d'Ivoire in Zone 3. We have developed the training of supervisors and the match officials. Today, we have two FIBA Africa 5-on-5 and 3-on-3 international referees, and also 5 FIBA Africa coach and referee instructors. So with this new and good base of skills and quality players in Benin and abroad, we can validly participate in all the nations Zone 3 and the continental under 16, under 18, under 20 and senior competitions.
Do you have plans to seek assistance from FIBA or sister African countries to develop the game in Benin Republic?
Of course, Benin cannot develop without being open to the other countries of the continent and the world, which are better organized and which also have more technical and financial resources with the necessary experience. We have benefited from technical and material support from FIBA and its foundations, FIBA Africa, FIBA Africa Zone 3, NBA Junior Africa, the Federation of Nigeria, and the French Basketball Federation. I sincerely thank them. In the coming days, we are considering partnerships with Côte d'Ivoire, Senegal, Tunisia, Mozambique, and Belgium, and so on. And it will be continuing like this.
That's Onifade Ismail, the president of Benin's Basketball Federation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cotonou, Benin.
Sporty greetings. This is Onifade Ismail, president of Federation of Benin Basketball. You are listening to the Sony side of sports on the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we're looking at the Me Too movement's effect on Africa's women. How global and inclusive is it really? And is the global movement helping or hurting the fight for women's rights and safety in Africa? Be sure to join me, Katie Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Haiti. In African women's football, teams across the continent are playing first-round qualifying matches this week for the 2022 Africa Women's Cup of Nations tournament in Morocco. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, says a record 44 national teams entered the qualifying rounds. Second-round qualifying matches are scheduled for February 2022, and a total of 11 women's teams will join host Morocco in July 2022 at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations tournament. In one of the qualifying matches Wednesday, Uganda will host Ethiopia. Magume Davis Rakawinj caught up with Uganda's head coach and several players ahead of the qualifier. And Magume joins us now from Kampala. Sporty Tuesday greetings, Magume.
Sporty Tuesday greetings to Tusani and our listeners. Uganda Crested Cranes train at Fa Technical Stadium Njeru, Eastern Uganda, in preparation for the AFCON qualifiers against Ethiopia and the watchful eyes of tactician George Williams Rutaro. The team is comprised of both senior players, including those playing overseas, such as defender Otande Kalachi, who features for New Jersey Copper FC in Metuchen, New Jersey, as well as younger players graduating from the under-20 squad.
So far in camp, the training has been going well. The girls are very talented, and everybody has a lot of high energy and different skill sets. So I'm really excited to see how this game against Ethiopia goes, because it's a must win and we've been working so hard since about a month and a half now, and I can't wait to see the results.
Lachi says she's glad to don the Crested Cranes jersey. She says the stakes are high for the team to qualify for the Continental Showpiece.
Yeah, that would be pretty important to qualify for AFCON, because I don't think Uganda has done it before, so it would be nice to be a part of the team that made a way and made history for the first time to make it to that level. And of course, it would be great to make this country proud.
The Crested Cranes must score goals if the teams fly higher in Africa, a thing that has eluded them on many occasions. The Crested Cranes struggled for goals in the SACAFA 2019 regional tournament in Kigali, Rwanda, as they clinched a third finish. They also failed to score against neighbors Kenya in the 2019 AFCON qualifiers and were edged by 1-0. The team also lost in the recent Olympic qualifiers against an attacking Ethiopian squad by 4-2 goals aggregate. Striker Sandra Nabeteme was called from Uganda under-20 team that featured in the recent COSAFA Cup to bolster the attacking force that is comprised of experienced players like Fazila Kaput, who previously featured for BK Zagat in Kazakhstan, as well as Juliet Nalukenge, who plays for Apollon Ladies Football Club, a first division club in Cyprus. Sandra, who plays at trade in Iceland, says she's up to the task to solve the Crested Cranes' woes.
We have been working on our finishing, because when we were in South Africa, it was our biggest problem. So now we are back here focusing on working on our finishing, getting goals in to see that we win the game. If we play on a big stage, like if we qualify for Alcon, it would mean like life for us. Teams are going to be looking at you, scouts are going to be there. But I mean, that is not like our main focus. Our main focus is playing for Uganda to see that we also get known. Because we have a competition with the U20s. They have been doing good. We also have to work hard to see that we give the nation something.
Team captain Ruth Aturo says she knows a thing or two against the Ethiopians.
We have ever played with Ethiopia several times in the Tokyo qualifiers, in CECAFRA. Yes, and now this is another chance we're going to play against them in the Alcon qualifiers. Well, Ethiopia is a very good team. They're so comfortable on the ball, but we also see some of their weaknesses whereby we're also better in some places more than them, because the last time we played with them, we beat them 1-0. That was in CECAFA, that was in Tanzania. So we believe that the preparation we have had right now, looking at how we played against them and how they play, we have tried our level best to see that we improve on the places that really need to improve on, and I believe this time around we're going to do better than last time.
Crested Cranes head coach George Williams Rutaro tells the Sunnyside of Sports that his team is in great shape.
Right now the mood is good in the camp. The spirit in which the players are doing all activities is really promising, and we have the hope in the coming game that we are going to perform well. Yeah, we need to have a target. We have a target that we set, and we must achieve it. The moment we achieve it, we shall be able to have qualified. We shall be able to have qualified. It will really be a good moment for the ladies team. If we qualify, this is going to be a stepping stone.
The Crested Cranes will play against Ethiopia in the return leg 6 days later in Bahir Dar International Stadium in northern Ethiopia. For the Sunnyside of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. My name is Otunde Galachi. I play for the Uganda Women's National Football Team, the Crested Cranes, and for New Jersey Copa FC. And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. Still with African women's football, the draw for the qualifying competition of the 2022 African Women's Cup of Nations tournament was held in May. And this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yawafusu Larbi joins us from Accra, Ghana. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Ahead of the Africa Women's Cup of Nations to be hosted in Morocco in 2022, a draw has been done for countries to know who they play against in the preliminary round of the qualifiers. There have been some interesting pairings. North African rivals Egypt and Tunisia will play each other. Uganda will also face their East African counterparts Ethiopia. Liberia will face Senegal. South Africa are set to face Mozambique. And winners in 2012, Equatorial Guinea, will take on the DR Congo. But the biggest fixture at this stage of the competition is 11-time winners of the competition, Nigeria, taking on neighbours Ghana. The Super Falcons of Nigeria have long been the most successful country in women's football on the continent. The Black Queens of Ghana have been one of their biggest challenges, but they have always played second fiddle to the Nigerian team. With a draw done, Super Falcons coach Randy Waldron admits it'll be a tough game.
I think you always embrace the challenge. You know, I mean, obviously the draw is a difficult draw. We have a lot of respect for Ghana, and we know the strength and power of that team. But as far as the pressure of the job and the task at hand, I think that's something that any competitor truly embraces. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me is I'm just ready to get to work.
Ghana's first women's football trophy came at the All Africa Games in 2015, and the woman who guided them to the coveted prize is still coach of the team. Mercy Tego says she's excited to have drawn Nigeria at this stage of the qualifiers and says she will do everything to make sure the Queens qualify to the next stage of the major qualifiers.
At long last, the draw has been made, and we are so pleased and happy to have a team in the zone of Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire. All the big goals are there, and when it comes like this, when things like this happens, it gives you the strength to work extra hard. When Ghana is meeting Nigeria, it's like a tug of war. Nigeria respects Ghana, just like the coach said, and Ghana also respects Nigeria so much, but we need to put in more effort so that we'll be able to be abreast with whatever plans that we have. So for now, we are happy. We have the draw. We need to go and prepare well to meet Nigeria. It's unfortunate that our first game, we are meeting Nigeria, but nothing is impossible.
For the sunny side of sports, this is Yaofu Sulabi in Accra.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In an African Women's Cup of Nations qualifying match played Monday, Gambia defeated Sierra Leone 2-0 in Monrovia, Liberia. Joining us now from Monrovia is Moses Garzio. Sporty greetings, Moses.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. It was a battle between two of the continent's minnows in African women's football. It was the Sierra Leoneans who controlled the first half, taking their home advantage into account after switching venue to Monrovia following being placed on the Saka Stevens Stadium in Freetown. Wiya Muhad was left with Una tap in, but failed to convert Sierra Leone's best chance of the match in the 40th minute. The Gambians, however, made them lick their wounds after the interval of an easy finish on Ola Buaro on 54 minutes from 6 yards out. The Leone Stars defense failed to clear a rugged jaw free kick from the left-hand side of their defense when the ball fell to towering striker Buaro, who wasted no time to slot beyond goalkeeper Asatu Dumuya. Rugged jaw made name for herself with a long-range effort to double the Gambian lead on 77 minutes. Her 40-yard free kick went hitting into the upper left angle of Dumuya's goal before landing into the back of the net. The Leone Star coach, Abdullah Bar, said it was frustrating that he saw missed begging chances.
It's really frustrating because we had all the chances in the first 45. We give away them, and in the second half, we gave away two easy goals. It was very easy, you know. At least we lacked the concentration in the second half.
Ba, however, admits that the Gambians are somewhat more organized than the side.
You can see that they are more organized than us because they've used to such situations. So even though in the first half of play we were dominating them, they keep pushing. And in the second half, they take advantage of our mistakes, whilst we didn't take advantage of their mistakes in the first
place. The Gambian coach, Maria Maso, told the VOA a halftime team talk proved ultimate for the victory.
Yes, definitely, during the first half, we are playing against Benin, and during the halftime, we talk to the players, we tell them they are weak points.
The return fixture will take place next Monday when the Gambia hope to solidify their place in the next round of qualification to face African powerhouse Cameroon or the Central African Republic. Another fixture will see Liberia facing Senegal on Wednesday, also at the Antoinette Tubman Stadium in Monrovia. Coach Vabo Lati's side are hoping to thwart a run of poor performances in international competition. It is not clear if the Taronga Lionesses will be a soft spot for the Lone Star of Liberia. For the Sunny Silas Post, this is Moses Gazio in Monrovia, Liberia.
Thanks, Moses. In English Premier League football Monday, Arsenal and visiting Crystal Palace drew 2-2 in London. French striker Alexandre Lacazette came off the bench in the 67th minute for Arsenal. And in the fifth minute of stoppage time, his goal earned the Gunners the draw. Christian Benteke and Otsane Edouard scored second-half goals for Crystal Palace. Arsenal's Gabonese star, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, was named man of the match. Aubameyang opened the scoring in the eighth minute. It was his third goal of the EPL season. The Gunners of Arsenal now have 11 points from 8 matches. And the Gunners are now 3 points ahead of Crystal Palace. Chelsea is currently top of the table with 19 points, 1 point ahead of Liverpool.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice America.
Thanks, Carol. An update now on the Major League Baseball playoffs here in the United States. The Boston Red Sox trounced the visiting Houston Astros Monday night 12-3 to take a 2-1 lead in the American League Championship Series. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Boston, Massachusetts.
Kyle Schwarber kept the grand old times going for the Red Sox with another grand slam in the team's 12-3 rout of the Astros in Game 3 of their American League Championship Series. Schwarber's second inning slam was the Red Sox third in the last two games, making Boston the only team with three grand slams in a single postseason series.
Even in the first game of the series, and you even go before that, ever since the playoffs have started, I felt like we've done a really good job collectively as a group.
Christian Arroyo and J.D. Martinez added 2-run homers to help Boston take a 2-1 series lead. Kyle Tucker's 3-run homer provided all the offense for the Astros. Gethin Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Gethin. Game 4 in the Red Sox-Astros series is Wednesday night in Boston. Meanwhile, the National League Championship Series resumes later Tuesday night in Los Angeles, California. That's where the defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers will host the Atlanta Braves. The Braves lead this best-of-7-game series 2-0. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts is confident his team can come back.
I think for us is we're back home. We expect to win game 3. And I think that for us, we've got Walker going. And we're going to do everything we can to get back in this series.
And that wraps up the October 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.